by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Is it going to work? Good. And and some fell by the stone places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Principles of witnessing and soul winning. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about this. And Lord, thank you for Matthew 13 and the instructions you give us for what we do today, Lord, as we go out and we witness, Lord, to take your word out in the world. And we ask that you'd please help us today, Lord. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. And please help us, Lord, to understand your way of thinking on this, Lord, the biblical way, Lord. Help us to follow the principle and see your word and see the truth of it and the power of it. And we ask in a great way, Lord, your spirit to control this service and control this lesson, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to be laborers together with you, Lord, and help us to learn about that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, important principles of witnessing. And as we study this, I want to do this for a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks. I've just been looking at these things and fascinated with them. And they'll help you a lot. They'll help you minister. They'll help you to witness. They'll help you to understand why some people keep serving God after they're saved and some fall away and things like that. A lot of important principles. And first of all, if you look at that, if you do not understand the principles of witnessing, you will either do one of a few things. Brian, can you explain to them that we're in church? one of the few things happen if you don't understand that. If you do not understand the principles of witnessing, you will do one of a few different things. You will either not witness, you will be against witnessing, or you'll get discouraged while you're witnessing. Let me say it again. It's really important you get that. If you do not understand the principles of witnessing, you will either not witness or be against witnessing, or you'll get discouraged while you're witnessing. Now, some people don't go witnessing because they don't understand the Bible tells you to go, and that's important. Some people don't go witnessing because they are against it, and they think that you will turn people off to the gospel. And some people don't witness because they get discouraged because they witness and it doesn't seem to make a difference. And so these principles, I think Jesus knew that, and so he teaches us these things in the Bible, and we begin to see them in this parable right here, and we'll look at other teachings over the next few weeks. Number one thing we learn from the parable of the sower is what we call this story in Matthew 13. A soul winner is pictured as a planter or a farmer. He's pictured as a planter or a farmer. Verse 3, it says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now, in the Bible, witnessing is described as a few different things, and we're just going to look at one thing today. But witnessing is when you go tell people about Jesus, and he's the way to heaven. Jesus saves. That's witnessing. Send the light, we just sang. That is witnessing. That's taking the gospel to people. That is illustrated by Jesus in this story as a farmer, somebody who plants things. Now, I've never been a farmer, but we have a garden, and we have a small orchard at our house, and you know, it teaches you a lot about witnessing. It's interesting how the parallels are there of planting. How many of you ever had a garden? Raise your hand. How many of you don't have it and wish you still had one? How many of you have ever, how many have ever been to farmers? Raise your hand. A couple of you. And so three or four of you have been farmers before, and that's great. It's a very wholesome thing. The Bible pictures us as planters when we go witnessing. So I'm going to go witnessing, I'm going to take a track, or I'm going to take my New Testament, I'm going to go and talk to somebody and explain to them how to get saved and how to get to heaven. God says, understand, it's like farming. This is used in other passages. Let me just take you to Psalms. We're going to be in Matthew 13 most of the time, but Psalms 126, again, shows the same thing. And there's other passages we could turn to in 1 Corinthians and others we won't because of time. But Psalms 126 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So, it's there again, it's sowing. Now, sowing in the Bible means planting. It's sowing and reaping. That means planting and harvesting in our modern vernacular. And so, we are supposed to go, and it says, it is like a planter or a farmer. And so we'll get that and at another time and go more into that. But it's like planting seeds. You plant seeds, and that's what matters. Number two, you go forth to plant. Verse 3. "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, A sower went forth to sow." It's interesting. And when he sowed, when he planted, what he went forth to do is he went forth to plant seeds. When you go witnessing, your job is to plant seeds. Okay, it's very important. Your job, he didn't go forth to grow a plant. You can't grow a plant. You can plant a seed, and you can nurture it, and you can take care of it, and take care of the ground, and weed, and everything else, and that'll all come into it later. But you've got to plant seeds. You've got to go take the seed out there. If you are trying to grow a plant for every single seed in witnessing, you'll get frustrated. You can't do that. There are constantly people I witness to who don't listen. I never get to talk to again. There's constantly people I'm witnessing to and trying to witness to them again. There's constantly people I've witnessed to and have gotten saved and aren't growing. There's constantly people who are saved and have grown and backsliding. There's constantly people who are saved, growing, and doing great. And there's constantly all these things in there. My job is to take the word and take the seed and plant it everywhere. Okay, I'm a planter. And you, if you want to witness, are supposed to be a planter. Do not go forth to grow. You cannot grow a plant, but you can plant a seed. You cannot change a life and make somebody spiritual. You cannot do that, but you can plant a seed, and that's our job. He is a planter. Do not be discouraged if someone isn't saved. You might go, I didn't have anybody saved yesterday. You might go out witnessing, and you might go for 3 or 4 hours. Nobody accepts Jesus as their Savior. But you know what? You may have got to plant some seeds. And you know what? Not all crops grow the first day. Not all crops become a plant quickly. Some take a long time, but you planted the seed. You are supposed to be a planter. Number three, the seed is the Bible. Let me take you the same story, but it's the same parable in Mark chapter 4. And we'll go back to Matthew 13. This is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this parable. And in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, "The sower soweth the word." Now, when I just read that verse to you, I just planted. Because I just planted the Bible. The seed that you're planting, just like you have a corn seed or a bean seed or a apple seed or whatever, you go forth and you sow, and what you plant is the word. That's very, very important. Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 1. You plant the word. That's what you plant. 1 Peter chapter 1. The word of God is what you plant. 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, you don't have to turn to all these verses. Just make sure you stay back at Matthew 13 because we'll be going back there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." The seed is the word. Okay, now, here's the thing. We're supposed to go forth and sow. We're supposed to go forth and sow the word. We plant the word in people. And it says, "You are not born again of corruptible seed, but incorruptible." By the way, the Bible is incorruptible, the Bible. It says about itself. It can't ever be corrupted. God will always preserve it. So this word is what we plant. We plant this in people. Understand, that's one thing that Christians sometimes fail to do when they're trying to influence their relatives, their neighbors, everybody else, is they'll maybe defend Christianity. Maybe they'll argue some point of history or of biblical history, or they'll argue about, Christians aren't all hypocrites, or whatever they'll debate about. Better understand, you might debate creation evolution, but you need to plant the word. You need to read the Bible. You need to quote the verses to them. The seed is not an argument. The seed is not a debate. The seed is not a lecture. Many people who in churches, they make this huge mistake, is they go out and they go and they try, they say, "You know what, I love this serving God thing, I love going to church, I love having my life change, and now I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to my friend, and I'm going to tell them, you need to quit sinning, and you know what, man, you need to come to church." And that's great, all that's true and wonderful, and they should, except for you didn't really plant any seed. The seed is, let me tell you something, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." The seed is the word. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is the Bible. Either you read the Bible to them or you quote the Bible to them. The seed that gets planted in them is the word. You'll be amazed how ineffective you are if you don't quote the Bible. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how you seem like you made the best points and that's the best argument and they should have understood it and they should see the right way, but they don't. Why? Because you didn't plant any seed. You went up to a big old ground and you said, you ought to grow. You ought to bring forth corn. I mean, you know it'll be beautiful, and let me tell you why you ought to bring forth corn, because corn's beautiful and it tastes good. And, well, guess what? Is it going to bring forth corn? No, there's no seed in there. And the seed is the word. You give them the word. The seed is not a Christian song. I'm going to give them a Christian CD. Fine, nothing wrong with that. It's awesome. Get them some good Christian music. By the way, music is not an evangelism tool in the Bible. I think that's the way you ruin music, is try to make it for the unsaved. It's not an evangelism tool. Preaching is, God has chosen the foolish of the preaching to say than to believe. It's not music. And all those things are fine. You can give them a Christian CD. You can lecture them. You can invite them to church. You can do all the things you want to do, but you have not yet planted a seed. It is amazing when you plant a seed, you quote a verse, something goes inside of them, and the Bible says they are born not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. A seed is planted in them. Whether it'll grow is it will get to, but it's planted now. Once they get the word, sometimes I'll be knocking on doors, and I'll realize somebody's not really interested and stuff, and they'll let me just talk for a moment, and I'll say that's fine. I said, you know, you have a great day and everything else, but let me just give you a verse here, and I'll get going. He that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All right, man, have a great day. Did he get saved? No, but I got to plant a seed. It might be 15 years later. He doesn't even know why. He may not even remember my conversation, but the seed got put in him. And the seed can grow into life. And so the seed is the Bible. Quote or read the Bible or read the scriptures to them. A rebuke of their sin is not a seed, although it's fine. Nothing wrong with that. It's good. You ought to do that. All those things are good. A lecture is good. A sermon is good. A Christian song is good. By the way, that's why preaching ought to always be Bible-filled. That is the scariest thing about churches today, is people tell me, and I've heard the sermons, I've been in church and they preach those, it is just a couple verses and a cloud of dust, and a lot of talk, and a lot of illustrations, and a lot of poems, and a lot of things, but you know what? It's the Word that changes life. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. A lot of Bible, and we've talked about that so much, you know that. Number four. And this is where the what grows comes out, is there are different types of soil. Different types of soil. Let's go back to Matthew 13. There are different types of soil. Different types of soil. It says in verse 4, a sower sowed and some seeds fell by the wayside. So he's sowing and he's going along, and some of his seeds fell out of the plowed nice area and fell by the wayside along the way. That wasn't really part of it. And it says those seeds got eaten up by birds. Birds came by and ate those seeds and picked them up and took them away. And that's the first thing that happened. It says, verse 4, it says, when he sowed, some seeds fell to the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some, as he sowed his seeds and planted his seeds everywhere, and planted and planted and planted, he sowed the seeds. It says some fell in stony places. So maybe there is a trail along the side of the field, and along the side of the field there are stony places, and they fell in the middle of that. And then he sowed in some. It says in verse seven, and some fell among thorns. So in some spots, maybe there is on the other side of the field there is next door a bunch of thorns, or maybe in the middle of his field he didn't clean up all the area, and there's some thorny areas, or maybe after he plowed it some sticker bushes plopped up and he sowed some there, and it says they got some there, and then some fell on the good ground. It's interesting the way this is illustrated. I'll get back to this. It doesn't look, sometimes when you plant a crop, you plant a seed here and you plant a seed here and you plant a seed in a line and just like this. That does not look like the way Jesus illustrated the sower sowing. It looks like he is just throwing seeds out. Because a bunch are falling off the trail. Some are falling in stony places. Listen, when I'm planting corn, I get down and we try to get a little string going in between two stakes. And we plant them in a line and a line and a line and a line and a line in a perfectly straight line. That's obviously not what's happening here, because they're falling in stony places. They're falling on the wayside. They're falling among thorns. They're falling everywhere. So he's just hucking the seeds. Kind of like a person, you ever seen those buckets of wildflowers? is a bucket full of wildflower seeds, and you just throw the seeds everywhere, and you might throw them around your yard. I remember on I-5 for a while, somebody had gotten out on I-5, and just in the middle of the grass, they'd just thrown a ton of seeds out there. And so every spring, you'd see a ton of flowers going along the middle of I-5. It was real pretty. And obviously, these seeds are just being thrown out there. And so you see that there's different kinds of land, and then they grew in different ways. The one who fell in the first place by the wayside, they were eaten up by birds. They didn't grow at all. The second ones fell among a stony ground where there's stones and everything, and they went in and they grew up. And when they grew up, they didn't have very much root because they couldn't go down very deeply. And they withered up and died. Some fell among the thorns and the weeds, and they grew up, but they got choked out by the weeds. And pretty soon they died also. And then some fell among good ground, and they grew up, and some brought forth 100-fold, 60-fold, a whole bunch of crops came out of those good things. And so there are different ways they grow. Only one quarter of the good ground is in this story. Three quarters of it didn't turn out to be fruitful. That's amazing. Three quarters of it, of the different grounds, didn't turn out fruit. Listen, we can win people to Christ. We can't guarantee they're going to turn out. You don't know. You don't know for sure that they're going to be good, bad. You don't know if they're going to come to church or not going to come to church. You don't know that. You're sowing seed. There's nothing wrong with you sowing seed and something sprouts up and doesn't grow. It's a strange thing. People will criticize those who are aggressive on their soul winning and go and throw the seed everywhere and say, you know what? Some of those people don't come back to church. Some of those people don't go to church. Some of those people say they got saved and didn't come to church. You don't know what the ground's like. You're sowing the seed. Pretty consistently, those who criticize, those who throw a whole bunch of seed out there, they plant their seed very carefully in their one seed, and they watch it very carefully and take care of it and take care of it and take care of it. You know what? They don't see nearly as much fruit. And it's strange or critical because you said this was going to grow, and you planted a seed over there, and it started springing up, and it died, and this didn't do it, and this didn't grow up perfectly. But you know what? That's the parable. And most people who don't believe in throwing out lots of seeds do not see a lot of fruit. They don't see a lot of fruit because they don't plant a lot of seed. You can't control what the ground is. The only way to control what the ground is one thing: you pray for God to go before you prepare. Prepare the ground, prepare hearts. When we were in the Philippines, when we went out there, every single person we witnessed to got saved, who wasn't saved. Everyone. And then on Sunday, when we had our first service, guess what? A whole bunch of those we went to Christ were there on Sunday. But you know what? The ground in Seattle is a little bit different than the ground in the Philippines. Not everybody I talk to in America gets saved. Not everybody I talk to in Seattle gets saved. You know what? When I go witnessing in California, in Santa Clara, when I'm down there at the conference, I always go witnessing. You know, the ground's a lot different there than it is here. Ground is different in Chicago than it was in Oregon. Ground is different everywhere. And by the way, I can go to one door and they are ready to get saved. They are seeking God, wanting to go into heaven. I go to the next door and you know what? They want to tell me off. I go walk up to a crowd of teenagers and one of them wants to get saved. One of them hates God. One's an atheist. And one will listen and consider it. And I don't know one ground from another. I can't. You are sincere. My sincerometer broke. It doesn't work. I can't tell who's sincere and going to be and serve God. I've had people, when I prayed at them, they cried their eyes out. And they said, oh, this is what I've been looking for. I'm saved. And they cried and bawled their eyes out and never came to church. I've had people who weren't very emotional and went to Christ. And I was like, oh, they're just nodding. And they turned out for God and are still serving God. You don't know what the ground's going to be like. You can't tell always. You know how many people wanted to go and they crossed America and risked their lives in wagons and are going so they could be farmers and rode across Iowa and Nebraska and didn't know they were on some of the greatest soil on the planet? And they rode their wagon all the way to Oregon, which is good soil too. But nobody thought, you know, it's growing all these big, tall grass. I wonder if it'd grow corn. You don't always know what the ground is like. Sometimes it doesn't turn out like you think. You never know. You don't know the ground. The ground determines, the seed is always good, but the ground determines a lot. Our prayer can change the ground. It can break up the fallow ground. It can do that. And that's what we got to pray, and we got to plow those fields, and we got to do that. Next, some seeds never grow. Verse 4, when he has sowed, some seeds fell to the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And over to, verse 19, it says, and when one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Some people go and they hear the word, they don't understand it, and the seed that was left in them, the devil comes and snatches it away. That's why when you witness to somebody, go back again. That's why you make sure they understand when you witness. That's why when you preach, the Bible says they read in Nehemiah and gave understanding. You've got to help people understand the gospel. Don't just say churchy words. You got to be born again, and if you're not redeemed, they're not going to understand that. You got to go and explain them. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. And explain the gospel to them, because the seed, they need to understand it. And some people don't understand it, and they don't grasp it. And sometimes, by the way, sometimes they're little children and aren't old enough to understand salvation yet. And you got to wait a little while. They're 4 or 5 or so years old, and sometimes they're not ready yet. But the thing is, the devil's going to go behind you and undo your work. Go back. I've already quoted that verse to him. You'll be shocked. You go by and say, let me teach you a real simple concept. You're a sinner. For all of sin and come short of the glory of God, you have come short of God's glory and what it takes to get to heaven. Okay. Go back a week later. All right, remember we talked about last week? You're a sinner and you come short of heaven. No, I'm not. Did I just teach you this? You know how many times I'll preach on Sunday a simple truth, and I'll preach a concept. The way you cleanse yourself is by the word of God. And I preach a whole sermon on that. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word is truth. Cleansing the water of the word. And so I just preach that message. I preach a whole sermon on, you get washed by reading your Bible, read your Bible, and it'll cleanse you. And then Tuesday, somebody was there during that sermon. Hey, pastor, I'm really stuck and I'm not very clean. Do you know how I can get my life cleaned up? You know what? You can do it by reading your Bible. Really? You mean just reading the Bible will clean you up? Yeah. Why? Because the devil steals the seed away. That's why I need to go to church all the time. You're constantly getting seed stolen away. Who can tell me what I preached on last Sunday? One? Okay, go to your notes, I know. Quickly, find your notes. It's about stronghold or something, I think. Wait a minute. I'm not criticizing you. Good, strongholds, you got it. I'm not criticizing you. Guess what? The devil steals a seed. I went to church as a kid. And? You went to church 18 years ago? You go to church all the time. That's why they went every day in the New Testament. And the devil's going to steal the seed. He's going to steal it. And so make sure that you're careful about that. The point of that, some seed never grows. You went to them and nothing happened. Look at Jesus' ministry. A whole bunch of people he healed never got saved. I mean, they were lepers and they couldn't walk and everything, and they didn't get saved. Some people are never going to change. That's just part of it. If it's bad soil and they're not going to listen and they're not going to change, find some good soil. Don't knock your head against the wall against soil that's not going to listen. Now, if they're in your own home, you got to keep praying that God will break that ground up. That's different. But you know what? If there's somebody you just keep, only knock your head against the wall so many times, the soil's not ready right now. Next. Some plants start to grow, but they do not come to fruition. Some plants start to grow, but don't come to fruition. Look at the verse 5. Some fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root and withered away. So some of these plants, they threw it in the stony places. And all of a sudden, a plant sprung up where the seed was planted, and it grew. Ready? Was it alive or not? Very important there. Well, you know what? They came to church a little while, then they went away. They must have never been saved. Did the seed bring forth life? It did, didn't it? And that's the key right there, as you understand, some things grow and then die. Two of the seeds grew and died. Two of the seeds did not bring forth any fruit and did not last. That is one of the most discouraging things that comes in a soul-winning church like ours. Understand for a sec, we, Independent Baptists, are the most aggressive witnessing people on the planet. We are from the most aggressive, I went to the most aggressive witnessing Bible college in the world. There's not been that aggressive witnessing Bible college been in the last 2,000 years since the New Testament. Okay? And you know what? I like aggressive, confrontational, on the street, to your neighbor, on the street corner, everywhere you can, at work, everywhere you get a chance, you witness. I think that's biblical. That's what they did. They were scattered everywhere preaching the word. Daily in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Aggressive witnessing was the way of the Bible. New Testament Christians, they witnessed everywhere all the time. Awesome. That's biblical. No argument. I don't think you can argue that point. I don't think you can argue that's the way New Testament Christians were. You can't argue biblically. You know what? However, a criticism is, and what happens in our church, and if you've been to our church very long, you see people coming and wither away. And coming and disappear. A couple reasons for that. One, we go out and reach people who would never get into church otherwise. So they're in church. They would not be in church if we wouldn't have reached them. Because of that, they might not have good character. They might have a whole bunch of bad things, a whole bunch of baggage, a whole bunch of problems, a whole bunch of issues, a whole bunch of addictions, and a whole bunch of things. You know what? They would just be sitting home withering away, and they're growing a little bit here. But you know what? They're very volatile. A church that just has the same old people for 30 years, they're going to be at church. If they're backslidden and doing everything, they're always at church. You ever go to church like that? As a matter of fact, you better not sit in their particular seat. Because they're always in that seat. We don't have that. Well, we go and we throw that seat everywhere. And we get people, and we get weird people. We get people with lots of issues. We get people who come for a little while and disappear. Why? Because we're doing things right. Because we're throwing a whole bunch of seed out there. And some of it lands among stony ground, and we don't know which that is. All of a sudden, they show up at church and say, I want to grow, I want to serve, I want to go to church. And we say, awesome, here, let's feed you, let's get you going. But there's no root in themselves, which is commitment to Jesus Christ. There's no depth there that'll go through the hot fire of trials that the Christians go through. And when it gets hot, they wither up and die. That means we're doing things right if people disappear from church. When the presence of God came, Adam and Eve split. Okay? When the presence of God is there, not everybody's going to stick around. And not everybody's going to stay. Not everybody's going to turn out. We'll have people in this room right here who I love dearly. I would do anything for. I'm their friend. I care about them. But you won't be in church in 6 months. Oh, yes, I will, Pastor. Wait till the heat comes and see if you wither. That's one way that it's one of the soils there is just stony ground. Sometimes people say, I want to serve God. And you know what? They like coming to church. And they say, that's fun to come to church. It's great. I want to be there. And this is good. And that's awesome. We start growing. And all of a sudden, now you got to get some rich nutrients. And you say, okay. And it also means some sacrifice in your life. Love your enemies now. Start treating your family right. And start giving. And they say, I don't want to do that. That's hard. Yeah, it takes some depth to be a real Christian. It's really easy to go when it's fun. Hey, it's easy to come for treasure hunt. It's easy to come for potluck. Man, Baptists are all obese gluttons. Give them food. I'll eat. Church, yeah, sounds good to me. And they're there. But you know what? That doesn't mean they have any depth. How will they come when they're tired? Will they come when their favorite football team's playing? Will they come when they didn't get much sleep that week? And so there's not much depth there. And then the other one that grew, again, it grew. Watch what happened. It grows is the one among thorns. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. If you look at the, when Jesus explains it down on the other, at later in the chapter here, and verse 22, he that also received the word among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becometh unfruitful. It's interesting. This one gets choked out. What chokes it out? The deceitfulness of riches, the things of the world. Oh boy, that's, listen to me for a sec. That is a whole bunch of ground in America. Never in the history of the world has there been as many rich people as we have in America. You say, no, people are poor everywhere. No, no. The poor people you see in America live better than kings did 1,000 years ago. They have running water, hot and cold. They have a comfortable bed. They didn't have beds like you had 1,000 years ago. Oh, my bed leans a little bit. I can feel a spring. Listen, you know, I don't got time to go into it. We have it good. We have it good. We can get in a box, turn it on, and with 1 gallon of liquid, that box will take us 25 miles. Controlled temperature. And at night, lights turn on for it so we can see where we're going. Well, it's just a car. You're used to it. It's amazing what a car is. Try walking somewhere again. Go walk 20 miles away. You'll think a car is pretty cool. And you'll see what most of history was like. Listen, we are so rich, and we have so much. We throw away so much food. We throw away so much food. We have so many things in this world. We have so much entertainment. Do you understand? I mean, just when you and I were growing up, you know how boring TV was? You know how many channels there were when we were growing up? How many of you couldn't get more than 10 channels growing up? And how many people nowadays, how many couldn't get 3 channels? 3 channels. And nowadays, how many channels can we get? I know one of my relatives said, look at this new cable system we have. We have 600 channels. I said, 600 channels? He said, 18 golf channels. All day long I watch golf. 18 golf channels? It's like, I bet you a white ball is going to go towards a little round hole. But 18 golf channels. How many NASCARs? I mean, they're all taking left turns on the NASCAR channel. It is amazing how many things we have. And all these things, all the wealth, the gadgets, the toys, the iPods, the video game consoles, the entertainment, the malls, everything we have chokes out your spiritual life. Rich people don't become very good Christians. Because the things of the world, it doesn't say they reject the gospel, they reject God. It just says, I can't breathe. I got so many things going on. I got so many projects. I got so much to do. I've got to fix this. I don't got time for church. I don't got time for my Bible. It just chokes out Christianity. That's why poor people are very good Christians. That's why you go to the Philippines, you have a lot of people saved. And they become very devout. And their families might mock them, and their families might kick them out of the house, but they still serve God. Why? Because they are not choked out. It gets choked out. And you see that, and that happens. Things are against the seed. You do not become a good Christian in America by accident. It's very common in America that the word gets choked out. That's why most people were much more worried about us going to the recession than I was. You know what? If long as we're not starving, I'd like us to have a little bit less so we can have a little more time for God. A little more time for God, a little more time for our families. Maybe the families can't afford a bunch of things. What are you going to do if we don't have it? Maybe sit down and spend time talking. Go for a walk with your wife. Spend time with your kids. Throw a football with them. We have way too much. And so very common in America, the ground that we get, and even an open door, the most common ground we get is people say, I love God. God's good. God's great. But I really don't have time to be a really good Christian, but I'll come to church sometimes. They're choked. And that's very common. Next. So some seeds start to grow, but doesn't come to fruition. Next, some seeds grow for a while. Some seeds do grow for a while. Verse 5. They fell among stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. They grew for a while. Next. They're probably, underneath that, they're probably saved and they receive the word, it says. You cannot tell at the beginning how that will turn out. I still oftentimes do not know how somebody's going to turn out for God. If I would embarrass some of you if I said, people in this room, some in this room, be honest with you, I didn't think you would turn out. And the people in this room, the people who aren't in this room, I thought would. The more experience you get, you can figure out more and more, but I'm still a long way from knowing who's going to turn out for God and who's not. I just don't know. Next, although all are not fruitful, three or four seem to have been alive. Next, the sower should just put the seed everywhere. The sower should just put the seed everywhere. I think it's interesting. Notice the word it uses here. It said, verse 4, and some fell by the wayside. And verse 5, some fell. And verse 7, some fell. Verse 8, others fell. Notice that the way it's just carelessly everywhere. A leaky seed basket almost. Just fell here, fell there, fell. It wasn't meticulous. We took somebody out witnessing one time, and they got done, and later they came back and said, we think this is wrong. We think you're going to turn people up against the gospel. We think you need to be friends with them and build a relationship with them for a long time, and eventually they will you can win them to Christ and stuff like that. But just cold turkey and stuff like that, that's not right. First of all, maybe you think it's right or not, it's biblical. Acts 5:42, Acts 20:20, Acts 9, all over the place. It's biblical. All over the Bible. But I said, you know what? I said, I agree. It is awesome if you can build up a relationship and win somebody to Christ. It's very effective if you can do that. I'm for it. But I said, you will not even scratch the surface of reaching the world. You know an amazing statistic? Did you know if you had Pentecost Sunday every single day, 3,000 saved and baptized every single day in China, you'd never reach China. If you had 3,000 saved and baptized 7 days a week, not even taking Christmas off, 365 days a year, you would not reach China. Since Christianity quit witnessing, except for inviting them to church and hoping they walk the aisle and get saved at church, which is awesome. I think that's awesome if they do that. And I think it's great. I think every evangelistic church that preaches the gospel and tries to get them to come down the aisle and get saved at church and that makes friends and witnesses their friends after a relationship gets built, I think that's awesome. Both of them, you got to do them, are great. We want people to do both those things. You know, if you do that, you're not going to, you know, did you know if you do that, 3/4 of the world would never even hear the gospel, let alone be able to say yes or no. They just won't even hear it. Because Christianity has moved, it does not believe in New Testament, door-to-door, house-to-house, on the street, everywhere, cease not teaching to preach Jesus Christ, witnessing. Because of that now, it's down to about 5 or 10% of the churches, and there's a few different groups, not all are independent Baptists, but a few different groups that still witness like that. Because it has gotten to that point, 5 to 10% of Christianity has to do the witnessing for 100% of Christianity, and there's no way to do it. So we who are aggressive in our witnessing and going everywhere, we've got to just grab bags of seed, take our Bibles, take our verses, take our tracts, and put them everywhere. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Just be furious about it. Will it all turn out? Nuh-uh. It's not biblical. But we witness everywhere and cease not and go and go and go and spread the word and spread the word. Throw it everywhere. Don't stop. Everywhere people need to hear it. Everywhere people need to hear it. Everywhere. Don't ever stop. Why? Because the need is urgent. There's not enough sowers. We've got to plant the whole world, and there's hardly any Christians planting anymore. Or once every year, they walk out and say, okay, here we go. I'm going to put a seed in the ground. Dude, I'm going to watch that seed for the whole year. Awesome. You're better than some Christians. Some Christians never plant a seed, but it's not going to be enough. Just be urgent about it. It fell. It was not a slow, meticulous planting. It fell everywhere. The numbers are impossible. We've got to have a bunch more Christians going witnessing. I am for lifestyle evangelism. I'm for friendship evangelism. I'm for getting people to church and them walking down and getting saved. I'm for you putting out the gospel on the internet. I'm for you. I am for witnessing every way. Any way you want to do it, if you're getting the seed out there, awesome, as long as it's not violating Scripture. You know what? We need to get the word out there. You ought to take, there's tracts in that back table there. You got to take tracts. You ought to hand those things out all week long. We're getting our New Testaments in pretty soon. You got to hand out those New Testaments. You ought to go out. When you're at work, you ought to go out and sing some Bible verses you learn. Just to plant a seed at work. Make all the people at work hear it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I just planted a seed and you couldn't stop me. And I mean, just plant the seed everywhere all the time. Go, go, go. Plant the seed everywhere. Cease not. Never stop. Never stop. It's got to just be, it fell among this, it fell among this, it fell among this, it fell among this. There's amazing stories of tracts being picked up. I mean, I know one guy, a guy was at college, and he wanted to know the gospel, he wanted to know how to be saved. He's a good friend of mine. Some soul winner was on campus and went by and invited his roommate and gave him a gospel tract, how to be saved. And his friend walked in the room and said, man, these stinking people irritate me so bad, giving this trash, threw it in the garbage. And went and walked back out of the room, and the other friend dug out that tract out of the garbage and read it and got saved and is still serving God 30 years later. Hey, the seed fell somewhere. Keep throwing the seed out, man. Go everywhere. It's urgent, like the New Testament Christians. Urgent, urgent, urgent. They couldn't stop them. They would try to smash it down and stop them from witnessing. Stop witnessing! And it went like hitting, you ever hit mercury before? Psh! Just scatters everywhere. And that's the way the New Testament Christians were. Stop witnessing everywhere. Psh! The weird thing is the world tried and tried and tried to stop them from being so urgent and witnessing in the Bible. And nowadays, we are trying and trying and trying to get Christians to witness. What in the world has happened? We who can't get Christians to witness, in the Bible, they couldn't get Christians not to witness. It's interesting. There's a lot of principles we got to learn about witnessing, and we'll learn these over the next few weeks in Sunday school. Principles of witnessing, and just the parable of the sower today, we'll get more next week. Let's pray. We'll come back to church in 10 minutes. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you. It's a seed that we can plant everywhere, Lord, and help us to take the seed and plant it all around America, all around the world. Help us to quote the Bible.